Where does Kyle Shanahan rank amongst head coaches and play callers in the NFL? PFF has a certain list there. It is list season in the NFL and 49ers offseason. We'll get into that in a few more subjects about how Kyle Shanahan's offense could change in 2022 with a new quarterback coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. At BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker is where you can find us on Twitter. A couple questions I think that pertain to our conversation today that we might hit from the Twitterverse, and we appreciate all of you that catch us on YouTube every day as well. Make sure you're hitting subscribe, and we love reading your comments there. I always call it list season because that portion after mini camps in June, early July before training camps, and it will start digging even more deep into the 49ers roster, projecting things out, 53-man roster projections, those types of things. Position previews for training camp will be coming. Of course, we've got our lookout for tomorrow, part three of a four-part series of our all-time San Francisco 49ers draft with our buddy Nick Winkler that we've been doing every Wednesday here in June. A lot of fun there, and those teams starting to come together a little bit, so having a lot of fun with that. And appreciate everybody out there in the comments and on Twitter that's letting me know how good my team is compared to Crocs and Winkler's team in the all-time 49ers draft. But how about this one, Croc, with PFF's Eric Eager is the one that wrote this article, and it ranked the top play callers in the NFL. And it shouldn't shock anybody that Kyle Shanahan's on the list, but I think some 49ers fans were even mad that he wasn't maybe number one or number two on the list, and he was as far down as number four. There's a lot of angles with this, but what was your initial thought when you saw this list? Because it has caused some waves.
Yeah, when I first saw it, again, it was just I didn't see the article or read the article. They posted it with a graphic showing best offensive play callers in the NFL. And when you see it listed that way, and you see, okay, Andy Reid, number one, that great, you know, whatever. That's kind of to be expected a little bit. But then you see Kellen Moore, number two. Byron Leftwich, number three. And then you get into Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. I'm just like, Byron Leftwich and Kellen Moore. The Cowboy fans hate Kellen Moore's play calling. They hate it. And Kyle Shanahan is widely known as kind of a, you know, quote-unquote offensive genius. All right. So seeing that initially, I was just like, how can you have Kyle so low when out of these six coaches listed, he had the, I don't want to say the worst, because I already got pushback on it by a certain 49er fan that's like, oh, why are you always digging at Jimmy Garoppolo? And I'm like, well, I'm not trying to dig at Jimmy here. It's just clear that Kyle, of the six coaches listed here, has the worst of the quarterbacks. And if he had a better quarterback, would he be higher or be viewed differently on this list? So that was just kind of my thoughts on it. But when you get into reading the article, I see the angle they took, and I was wrong.
So, yeah, and that's the initial thing is you see Kellen Moore and you're like, come on. But then when you dig a little deeper, the fact that Kyle Shanahan is on this list at all and he ranks number four says a lot about how good Kyle Shanahan is, because the quarterbacks for the other five guys on the list are Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers, right? The only non-Hall of Famer probably on that list is Jimmy Garoppolo. That's and like I know there's a lot of people that love Jimmy Garoppolo, and he gets a bad rap, I think, from some fans because he's not one of those other five guys. But that just shows you how good Kyle Shanahan is. So I don't
hate not in that tier, and that's how I would look at it, right? Because Jimmy's not like a fifth or sixth tier type quarterback. Like, he's a legit starting NFL quarterback who you clearly can win games with. So I don't want it to come off as if you're, like he said, like I'm taking a dig at Jimmy, but I'm just stating the obvious here. He's not in the same tier as the other guys with these other coaches that are listed over Kyle Shanahan.
Yep, absolutely. So 49ers fans should not take offense to that list, and there's a reason those guys on there. I think the big one was the Kellen Moore, though, and you mentioned that a little bit. And even the author of those rankings Eric Eager, who's a smart guy, does a lot of good work at PFF. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend PFF all day. And there's some bad lists that come out. And, you know, I used to do some work with PFF as well. So, but that doesn't mean I'm going to defend every single thing they do. But you have to realize when you see these lists, and I think the social media folks over at PFF, if anybody I have a gripe with, it's them. Put the link to the article so people can get the context of this list. You're just throwing out a list. And
no, you, I think but they I think did that's it
maybe
right.
What they want. Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, content creators, you put the list out. That obviously is going to draw most of the attention. You do want them to eventually click on it, but you at least want to start the conversation. I think they did an amazing job at that, because if you look at the tweet, over 1,000 quote tweets, over 4,500 likes. And then you get to the article and there's, oh, and also the comments, which let me see if I can see. I would assume about 1,000 comments, right? There's like 934 right there, probably 1,000 comments. So they got tons of interaction and engagement on that. And then you get to the link and there's like 5 comments, 3 retweets, 10 likes. So it's drastically less. But I do think that a lot of people that are curious as to why they would rank things the way that they did will click on the link, as have I.
And most people don't and just see it and call the guy an idiot, which is why there was some, he had to defend it a little bit. And he went at it a little bit with our guy, Akash Anavarathan, who's a friend of the program, does work over at Niners Nation. And it's funny because Akash made a great argument, even with, you know, being not having the best, having the worst quarterback of those top six. Akash made a great point, is that Shanahan should probably be even better and still should be higher than Kellen Moore probably, because the 49ers finished with a better versus the Cowboys, a better EPA per play, drop back EPA, rush EPA, offensive DVOA, passing DVOA, rushing DVOA. And, you know, Eric Eager's response to a lot of it, because a lot of 49ers fans say, hey, the Niners beat the Cowboys in the playoffs, and so how could one guy rank over the other? And Eric, you know, is like, look, I'm looking for a bigger sample. You can't just go off of one game. So I get all of those viewpoints, and he points to some other reasons. The Cowboys offense was better success rate, drop back success rate, had 6 more points per game, and some of those things. So that was the back and forth going on Twitter, and from the author of the article, who gets put in a bad spot because more people see the tweet than actually go and read the article and get the context. But the context is important with a lot of these things. And there was another article that PFF had just a couple of weeks ago that talked about not so much the play calling, but the head coach and how many wins is a head coach adding to his football team. And it had Cliff Kingsbury over Kyle Shanahan. And even our guy, the host of Locked On Cardinals, was appalled and aghast that Cliff Kingsbury's at, because he's been wanting to fire Cliff Kingsbury for a while. Shout out to Alex Clancy. But you have to look at the methodology. And in the one that was talking about head coaches a couple of weeks ago, you have to read the article and find out, well, the way that, because the way PFF does things, and so there's two different types of lists too. The way PFF does things is it's data driven. And so you put in ABC and it spits out to you, okay, when you have these inputs, the output is XYZ. It's not opinion based, but you you get someone, and I would rather have that. At least there's some methodology, and you look at it and you say, okay, well, this is bad methodology because maybe I would tweak this and I would weight this higher, something like that. Whereas you get someone like Chris Sims, who's just like, you know, pulls some names out of his nether regions, and he gets just as, you know, and that's just all opinion, and there's not any data involved there. So for that reason, I would say, and so with the list that had Cliff Kingsbury above Kyle Shanahan, the way the author of that list utilized the data was that he was using not so much statistical data. He was weighting how much quarterbacks were getting paid. So if you have a cheap quarterback, usually that means you don't have that good of a quarterback in the NFL. So if you're getting some certain amount of production from a quarterback that's not paid a lot, you're probably getting more out of that guy. But Kyler Murray kind of breaks that model because he's a good quarterback on a rookie contract. And as soon as he re-signs to a big money contract, then Cliff Kingsbury would drop on that list, right? And Jimmy Garoppolo is somewhat expensive. And so that's
I think Jimmy is... he's not very expensive.
Well, he's not expensive, but he's $25 million, whereas Kyler Murray was on year 3 of his rookie contract. Yeah. You know, so you have to look at the methodology, and then you, because it's not just opinion. And that's the thing with Eric Eager's article here at PFF, is it's not his opinion. He doesn't go, he doesn't say, hey, if I was drafting play callers, I'm going to draft Kellen Moore. He's like, this is the data I put in. This was the order that it was spit back out to me. So to me, that just shows how good Kyle Shanahan is to be up there with the only guy on the list without maybe a Hall of Fame type quarterback. And we'll see where Dak ends up. But I think the other guys are pretty clearly going to be going into the Hall of Fame. You know, you can make an argument whether or not the Super Bowl is enough for Matthew Stafford to be in there. But clearly, you know, the sixth best quarterback of those top six for Kyle Shanahan's offense to be up there just says a lot about him. So I would go less at the author of the article, figure out what the inputs and the outputs were, and just know that he's not, it's not an opinion-based thing. It's like, this is what I put in, and this is what the machines spit back out under these circumstances in this model. And so that's all you're trying to do with data is just, you know, play with the numbers, and you're putting in some data and trying to see what things look like. And if you could argue with it and say, okay, don't use this data, weight this more, weight that more. I get it, but it's not this author's opinion.
Right. And do you want to get in, or maybe on the next segment, like kind of dive into how they are kind of weighing this and
yes.
some interesting things that kind of jumped out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah. And in the article, he mentions a little bit in the blurb there about Kyle Shanahan and where he is and where Jimmy Garoppolo is. And then I've got some stats about what Trey Lance looked like in his starts versus Jimmy's starts and how the offense could look in 2022 as well coming up. But how about our friends at Blue Nile? Are you shopping for that special gift for that special someone? Are you trying to take it to the next level? Maybe even, who knows, get engaged? Are you there? Well, you got to go to Blue Nile, who has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Whether you're talking about engagement rings or you're just celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Each ring is one of a kind. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will create a handcrafted, perfect ring for whatever it is, especially engagement. And there's a special deal going on for those engagement rings or any kind of gift you're looking for, a tennis bracelet or a diamond ring or gemstone necklace, cocktail rings, whatever it is you're looking for whatever person in your life you're trying to buy for, you can find it at Blue Nile. Make that moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On 49ers listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. That is promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. One live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. The entire NBA channel is going live on NBA draft night. So if you have a favorite NBA team, make sure you subscribe now to their Locked On YouTube channel. Make sure you're listening to Locked On Warriors and not Locked On Lakers. So you get notified when they go live on NBA draft night. Warriors picking very late, if at all. I'm not sure what the NBA draft order is looking like right now, but world champion Warriors will not be picking very high this year unless they've got one of those sneaky picks that they traded for. Man, imagine if James Wiseman, number two overall pick, is a player for them at some point, because they're just getting nothing out of that so far and going and winning the titles.
So far, nothing out of it. Still very young.
Oh, yeah.
When the pick happened, I was like, how do you not take Lonzo Ball? And they're like, we don't need Lonzo Ball. Now, obviously, we've seen what Poole has done, and he is really good, but still think there was an avenue to get.
Yeah, you know, I think Lonzo Ball's
LaMelo
last
Ball.
Name.
Did I call him Lonzo? LaMelo
Ball. Yeah, LaMelo. I think LaMelo Ball's last name hurt him more than his ability in that draft. I think the 49ers.
He still went number three.
Yeah, that's true. But I think for the 49ers, I think they probably didn't want to deal with dad more than anything.
Warriors.
The Warriors, yeah, the Warriors. Sorry. Let's talk 49ers, though. Croc, talk about the methodology and the thing that really, I think, hits once you go to this PFF list. So get the other stuff out of the way. Oh, you know, Kyle Shanahan's better than Kellen Moore. Okay, yeah, all of that. We know that. You can use common sense. But what did you find most interesting in the write-up about Kyle Shanahan in the model that they used here when they were ranking these play callers?
Yeah, it had to do with like the EPA in like success rate. I guess it was based off of that. And I think the thing that jumped out the most to me was when they said that linebackers are not moving. Now, again, this is about play design and, things like that. Linebackers, which the 49ers, a lot of stuff is, run heavy with what they do, a lot of run action. So you would assume that linebackers are flowing with the offense. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, psych, we got a bootleg going on here. That's not what was going on. They weren't moving the linebackers. They weren't going with the flow of the offense. It was just, okay, if it is a run, then we'll react. But they were actually anticipating the boots and the play actions, and linebackers were just like, we're not going to bite. And I would have thought if you just, if I were talking to someone about Kyle Shanahan's offense, I would say it would be the complete opposite with that.
It's Kyle Shanahan's offense coming back to bite him, because now we're seeing the adjustment to the adjustments, because teams know that Kyle Shanahan's trying to manipulate those linebackers. Maybe that's why Kyle Shanahan is getting a little bit heavier personnel, needs to win inside with the run game a little bit more, has a new quarterback that can win in different ways with his legs, maybe pushing the ball down the field, making the defense defend more grass. Because yeah, that wide zone, you really get the team flowing one way, then you hit them back on the cutback, or you find that wide leak on the other side, and you're remember against the Browns, there was that, they talked about it after the game, where Kyle Shanahan's like, look, we're going to motion use check, like 2 steps over, linebacker's gonna move, that little crease is all we need, and boom, Matt Breida takes it to the house on that run play, right? But teams know that now, so now they're like, okay, Kyle, we're not gonna fall for all your window dressing and all this stuff, and we're not going to flow where you want us to. We're going to stay home. And then you get a Jimmy Garoppolo interception, right? You get, so teams know what Kyle Shanahan's trying to do, so they're trying to fall for it less. It's making his job a little bit harder, which is why you might point to the Trey Lance move. And I think all that starts to come together a little bit. You start to see where things are going, and there's always going to be adjustments in the NFL. And if defenses aren't moving where Kyle Shanahan's trying to move them anymore, he's got to find new ways to win.
And I think the tough thing with that as well is when you watch the NFC Championship game and you see how many guys they kind of had in the box, you have safeties a little tighter to the line of scrimmage. And so there's still a lot of bodies to defend the run. And we saw the 49ers kind of struggle to run the ball in that NFC Championship game. So there's there the people aren't moving. Your fakes aren't working as well, which is what knocks them down in this ranking. And do you put it more on him? Or what he had at quarterback. Again, Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of good. But there's also like that element of it where you can watch and see how much more difficult things are for a play caller. He is able to execute, but also see this here. Jimmy Garoppolo posted a 107.4 passer rating when throwing the ball between 10 to 19 yards, which we do know like that's the sweet spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. But he also, according to them, had only two big time throws and 15 turnover worthy plays on those same passes. And I mean, I don't know what a big time throw is or what that consists of. Do you have more insight on how they chart that?
Oh, I don't remember what big time throws are. We can look it up. I don't remember what that is, but it's I thought it was more 20 plus yard plays, but maybe it's, or certain air yards. I don't know. We'll have to look up exactly what that means, but turnover worthy plays are pretty obvious, balls that could have been intercepted, whether they were intercepted or not. But yeah, and so people out, like I went on a few podcasts talking with like the Colts and talking with the Texans, talking with, who was it, Saints, some other teams that were rumored to be involved with Jimmy Garoppolo during the offseason, when we thought Jimmy might get traded, maybe he still is, Panthers. People asked me, what is Jimmy Garoppolo? And I would say Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan's offense has become aggressively intermediate. Not a lot of checkdowns, not a lot of big time throws. Everything is condensed to this one middle of the field area. All the success, all the bad stuff as well. And that's exactly what that stat points to, is he has a high passer rating, even though he threw 15 or turnover worthy balls. So that's crazy how much of the offense is just right there for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. And I think it's both Kyle Shanahan's strength as a play caller, how he develops his offenses, plus Jimmy Garoppolo's strength as a quarterback. It almost got too much. And so Kyle's got to start calling different things. and his quarterback's got to be able to do different things. And so that's where we're at in the Trey Lance era.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Sims talked about this after Trey Lance's performance against the Houston Texans, which, again, we don't want to take a whole lot away from that. But, you know, okay, Trey Lance moving in the right direction. But he talked about how Trey Lance made the offense more dangerous and less risky. And I think when you kind of focus in on that risky part, it's where does Jimmy Garoppolo win, right? What makes Jimmy Garoppolo good? And I do think it's the timing and rhythm passes, hitting guys in stride for the run after catch, that you see Deebo Samuel get. You see guys like Brandon Ayuk get, right? Like those big chunk plays, George Kittle as well. But if you're off a little bit, and I experienced this when I was doing my little pro day, right? And I remember throwing that drive throw, my guy Greg Pinelli. He had me throw this ball over the middle, and you just can't be off at all. Because if you are, a lot of people are like, oh, you left him out to dry. Like, you were going to get him blasted. And it let me know, like, how accurate you have to be over the middle. And if you're off a little bit, that ball is going to be put in harm's way. And we see that a lot with Jimmy Garoppolo, where it's like, man, if he just misses a little bit high, oh, man, it's sailing right into a guy's arms. And it's a bad interception. Or, oh, man, if he's throwing it and he sees this guy, but then, oh, that linebacker drops back in that window. We saw him throw interceptions that way as well. So it's super dangerous as opposed to a guy who is able to utilize more of the field. And I think for Kyle Shanahan, he's probably like, okay, if I can get some of these intermediate plays for Trey Lance, but also kind of, you know, just be able to build off of what he does naturally better than Jimmy, which is, you know, in theory, throw outside the numbers. We'll see, like, right, like, I mean, as his career goes on, you'll see what he is good or bad at. And maybe he's just bad overall, or maybe he is what people expect him to be, which is, you know, able to threaten more areas of the field. But it was very clear that Jimmy, his strength is throwing over the middle. Now, that's not to say that you can't find any good throws of Jimmy outside the numbers. He's an NFL quarterback. There are throws that he's made, but it is very clear that's not his strength. His strength is timing, rhythm, over the middle. The tough thing is, if you're off just a little bit, it's a turnover-worthy throw.
Yep, and teams more and more know what the Niners are trying to do and jumping that stuff, and we've seen that a lot with that robber and Garoppolo trying to fit something in that shouldn't be there, and the defense making some late adjustments and getting their defenders in the way of those passes. Okay, but the Jimmy Garoppolo era, I think, is over, but you brought up Chris Sims. Let's talk a little bit about Chris Sims' list of quarterbacks, because we didn't talk about that one either, where Lance ranks, where Jimmy G ranks. If you follow Chris Sims' stuff, you probably could guess where that is. And I want to look at the numbers and how this offense could look different with Trey Lance and his two starts last year versus how the offense looked with Jimmy Garoppolo. That coming up next. How about this, though? Bet online. Bet on Trey Lance. You can get some pretty good odds on an MVP season from the young quarterback. Is he the next superstar quarterback in the NFL? Put some cash down on that at Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, all summer long. Bet Online is your continued source for all sports wagering and information as well. Live betting, esports, and scores. And between your sports bets, you can play some Vegas casino games, a little blackjack, a little poker, tons of other games at Bet Online. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for sports scores, news, and wagering this season. MMA, boxing, golf, all of your favorite sporting events. Head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about all of the trends and all of the action. And if you're excited about certain things with those San Francisco 49ers, you think those odds are a little bit too low, win yourself some money while you watch the 49ers win in 2022 at BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, Croc, before we get into the stats and how this thing could look with Trey Lance versus how it looked with Jimmy Garoppolo, were you surprised to see Chris Sims' list of quarterbacks? Very different methodology from the way Chris Sims lists things out versus the way PFF lists things out. It's just his opinion based on whatever he decides his opinion is that day. I would go the PFF route because it's more interesting to me, even if you agree or don't agree with their inputs and outputs there. But Chris Sims, he had Trey Lance ranked as, I think it was the 31st best quarterback in the NFL in his top 40. So he had him as one of the 32 starters. But yeah, Jimmy G, a good 10, 12 spots ahead. I think it was number 20 overall, right? Were you surprised to see Jimmy G ranked over Trey Lance, and were you surprised some of the names that were above Trey Lance on that list? Some quarterbacks that if Trey Lance is a complete unknown, some quarterbacks that have proven that they're not good being ahead of him is where I started to have a little bit of a problem.
Right. Well, so part of it with Chris Sims is his pre-draft evaluations. So, I mean, does he still have the kid from the Minnesota Vikings, Kellen Mond? Where is he at on this list? I'm looking. Okay, I don't see Kellen Mond. So maybe he hasn't jumped all the way off of the bridge here.
But, yeah, so he moved. He did move Trey Lance over one of his quarterbacks. I think Trey Lance was, what, ranked sixth in his rookie quarterback rankings last year?
Right, okay, but yeah, he was sixth.
And Mond was ahead of him. So he dropped Mond down.
But yeah, he had Kellen Mond well ahead of Trey Lance. But you look at some of his rankings and, you know, even, I mean, Davis Mills at 35, where you have Daniel Jones at 21. I would take Davis Mills over Daniel Jones.
Me too.
Wrong? Like, so when you start talking about guys who have proven and shown you, like, I'm not that guy, Daniel Jones is that guy. Now, Trey Lance, if I had some, you know, preconceived, like, pause with him, right? Like, we'll see. I don't know if he did anything last year to move me off of that. So I could see how someone that didn't necessarily think the world of him heading into the season after two games that he played in, because like, oh, yeah, let me bump him up over all these other guys. So at 31, with guys like Jared Goff ahead of him, Tua ahead of him, you know, even Marcus Mariota, which, you know, he showed you some stuff. I think that's more so of just knowing 100% who they are, as opposed to Trey Lance, where, yeah, he can definitely be better than this. And I'm pretty sure Chris Sims, who, one thing about Chris Sims, he's not going to stick to this long. Like, once he finds out, oh, okay, Trey Lance, this guy can play, he'll bump him up even higher than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I definitely can see how you would have Jimmy Garoppolo over Trey Lance right now because, well, he's won 74% of his games or whatever it is. So you know that. Like, you know that that's there. Even if you want to do better than him or get better and you hope that Trey Lance is better, I would say right now the unknown with Trey Lance would definitely have him bumped down a little bit lower than Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah.
And even in the small sample of unknownness, I'd probably put someone like Trey Lance or Justin Fields or whoever over Daniel Jones, because there's enough known that I would still take the unknown and the upside over the known. And, you know, you can put Jimmy Garoppolo into that category if you want as well. But two different, completely different methodologies there. And so just remember, when you see a ranking, don't overreact to it. Don't get worked up by some national media pundits' rankings. Find out why they ranked the stuff, the quarterback, the coach, where it was, and then you can, you know, have a better idea of why that happened and what it actually means that you're seeing in some of those rankings. And that's why I like the data-driven ones with PFF a little bit more, even if you don't agree with them, because they're less opinion-based. And I know Croc likes Chris Sims stuff a little bit more than I do. I kind of just don't pay attention. He likes to flap his gums a lot, and it's like, okay, you're talking a lot. I'm not getting a lot of substance.
I haven't listened to him as much anymore, and not for any particular reason. I don't know why I haven't. So I'm not at, like, before I felt like when it was him and Adam Lefkoe, it was really good, like, conversation, a nice back and forth between a former player and someone who's a legit host. And Lefkoe has this entertainment value to him.
Yeah.
But since leaving, I don't know. I mean, I was listening before, and just now, maybe I'm just too busy. Yeah. And I have other podcasts I kind of have as my go-to. And a lot of my time I spend listening to, like, business podcasts. So I don't listen to Chris Sims much anymore. I haven't heard anything on his quarterback rankings at all. I haven't heard not one word of what he has said about it. I'm looking at it though, and you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The combination of Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, how it's become so aggressively intermediate, that's kind of what the combination of Chris Sims and Florio over at Pro Football Talk is now, because Florio loves the, you know, the dramatic, and it's like, throw some crazy list out there, and you know who, and like, so I think the combination of Sims, I think maybe it was better with Lefkoe because he was a different style of, you know, a vibe there. And it's like, whatever, they're fine. I'm not crushing any of those guys, but I usually don't, you know, worry about Sims rankings too much. And I think, how about this? Are Kyle Shanahan and Chris Sims on the outs? because it's clear that Shanahan's not giving Sims any information. That's very clear. But I feel like they disagree more than I would expect for two friends. And maybe they don't even talk that much, because if you talk to an NFL head coach, you would feel like that would seep into your thought process a little bit. So either they're not talking, or Sims doesn't care when Kyle Shanahan tells him something about
they have matching tattoos or something like that, or tattoos of each other. You're friends forever after you do that. There is no falling out. Like, that's for life now.
Okay, real quick here. Trey Lance's two starts last year, he was 31 of 52, which is just a hair under 60% passing, 441 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and he had 24 carries for 120 yards. So the 49ers are obviously, partly because of the quarterback, more run heavy, a 54% run rate in those Lance starts versus when Jimmy Garoppolo was under center, which was a 48% run rate. How about this nugget? A whopping 66.7% of Lance's carries in his two starts were designed run plays and not scrambles. And, a lot of that is because his first start was just so designed run heavy. But the quarterback run game was much less successful on the design runs as it was with the scrambles. And obviously, you get your quarterback hit a lot less. So I think that's something that needs to not happen. So maybe you just want to look more at what that second start was like there. And how about this? Lance's depth of target. And this is a big thing with what we were talking about with the aggressively intermediate versus how Lance could spread things out. Quarterback run game, just the all-around run game. And Lance's depth of his average depth of target in his two starts was 11.6 yards down the field, which was much bigger than the 7.9 yards average depth of target for Jimmy Garoppolo. 45% or so of Lance's throws traveled 10 yards or more beyond the line of scrimmage, and many of those were outside the numbers, where just 32.2% of Garoppolo's throws traveled 10 yards or more last year. So just some of the differences, and I think it's some of the, I just want to put some numbers to it. Most of those things you realize just watching the game, but those are the actual numbers of those things. And that's really how this, with these two quarterbacks, the offense can't look the same, even though it's going to be the same play caller, and he's going to be calling plays differently on top of it.
Yeah, and I think that last part is key, where Kyle Shanahan still has to learn, how does Trey Lance see the field and adjust his play calling to make sure he fits that. Now, again, you still want Trey Lance to be very well-rounded, but there is more Patrick Mahomes, early Patrick Mahomes to Trey Lance's game right now, where it's, aggressive eyes, I'm going to make plays off of that, off script, as opposed to get the ball out of my hands right now. Now, Patrick Mahomes, teams have gone towards playing more too high against Kansas City Chiefs, so he definitely has had to learn how to be a more, I don't even want to say a dink and dunk quarterback, but it's like, okay, they're going to give me these 7-yard passes, then okay, I'm going to take it. And they're kind of forcing him to kind of throw underneath and win in that way, but he's still going to bring you the shot plays as well, as opposed to maybe Jimmy Garoppolo. And again, I don't want to dunk on Jimmy, but he's kind of forced to play a certain way because that's just how he sees the field. It's not like a team is like, oh man, like, actually, a team is actually doing the opposite with Jimmy Garoppolo, where they're like, we're going to have everybody up and we're going to force you to throw the ball deep. And he's like, I'm still not throwing it deep. Like, I'm not going to do it. and it's just hasn't been part of his game. And I think a lot of fans or people would push back and say, oh, that's Kyle Shanahan's offense. I'm like, I don't think that's Kyle's offense, because why are the numbers so drastically different with Trey Lance at quarterback, who I just think has more aggressive eyes. And we saw that from his first throw. He's looking at a certain thing, and his eyes are still looking past the sticks. It's like he doesn't even want if it's under 5 yards. He wants that first down with every throw. And he has to learn, take what they give you, and I think the playmaking ability will continue to kind of grow off of that.
Yep, it's going to be fun to watch Trey Lance grow and Kyle Shanahan grow in that offense. It's going to be different, because it's different if you want to use the data terms, it's different inputs and outputs now. So different inputs to give you different outputs there with the 49ers offense and Trey Lance. One thing he's got to improve on, though, is getting the ball out a little bit quicker. Part of the depth of target is how long the plays are lasting, creating. He's always going to have that. But if you can get the efficient stuff out, get the balls out early when the first read is there, then have the other stuff on top of it when that first read, second read is not there, now you're cooking. And so that could be a process. Young quarterback, it's going to be a lot of fun, though, to watch that grow in 2022. We're out of time here. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. For your second listen, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL show daily here on the network. Tons of other great content. Make sure you are subscribed, not only on your favorite podcast provider, but on YouTube as well. And tune in tomorrow for part three of the all-time San Francisco 49ers draft. We're getting a little bit deeper into that thing beyond round 10 now. Croc versus me versus our buddy Wink on another Winky Wednesday all-time 49ers draft tomorrow. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.